Welcome to season two, episode two of the Sophisticated Sports Podcast. I'm Daniel.
I'm Jacob, and we're back. Another banger episode coming up. Today we're going to be reviewing NBA trade deadline ideas from the experts of Reddit.com.
Very reliable.
And we're going to just share our thoughts about the idea. So let's get right into it. First,
take it away, Jacob.
Thank you, Daniel. First, Knicks and Nets unlikely trade idea. r/FauciSucci says, your youth / FauciSucci. His idea. Going to the Knicks, Mikal Bridges and Dennis Smith Jr. Going to the Nets, Evan Fournier, Quentin Grimes, 2024 first and second, 2025 first and second, 2026 first, 2028 first. So, at a glance, Daniel, what do you think?
I think unlikely is an understatement.
Unlikely? Who says no?
I would say the Knicks would reject this trade.
Knicks reject trade. So if you're the Knicks, you're not giving up, essentially, because Fournier doesn't play. Grimes, four firsts, 2 seconds.
This is essentially giving up four firsts and getting rid of the Fournier contract just for Mikal Bridges.
You're upgrading Grimes to Mikal, basically,
And Mikal is great. Like,
he's great.
He's probably not on a huge deal at the moment. I don't know how many years does he have left on his contract.
He's got 3 years left.
Okay.
And he's on a bargain. He's getting 21 a year. 21 million.
I mean, yeah, for that type of production. I mean, he'd be a solid fit with the Knicks, but for that much draft capital, I don't know. And the way that the Knicks are meshing right now, I think they're going to go out and get a star probably after this year to pair with Brunson and Randall. I mean, they're going to have to pay everybody, but still.
You know, the more I'm thinking about it, though, the more I kind of like it, you know, because if you're the Knicks and you do that, right?
Yeah.
Your defense is great, right?
He
helps immediately on that end. Now, I don't think the Nets would say yes because, although, yes, they're not winning, they don't have their own pick for the next few years. It doesn't make sense for them to tank, I would say.
I mean, but for this many, if the Knicks came in with this trade to the Nets, I would be happy to give up, like, what is it, six picks?
Six picks, like, four firsts, 2 seconds. And Grimes. Grimes isn't nothing.
Those are like potentially, if drafted right, like seven solid pieces. And the Nets aren't going to really be in contention, even with Mikal Bridges playing great. I don't know. I don't think the Knicks would – I don't think this trade would ever happen.
I don't think so either.
I don't dislike it, but like the picks would have to be significantly diminished.
Yeah, I mean, I would say this. If I'm a Nets fan and I hear that this trade happened, am I, like, that angry? No, I'm not. And if I'm a Knicks fan and I hear that this happens, am I that angry? No, because the team is better now.
True.
Now, I mean, it's an overpay, kind of, but...
Yeah. At the same time, this kind of feels... I mean, different circumstances and different players, but, like... Depending on how the Knicks do in the future, since these picks are down the road. Right. And presumably they're going to be good for a few years, but it could end up being like the Nets-Celtics trade, which set up the Celtics for their like little run in the East right now and set the Nets down a pretty poor path until they sign.
Poor path indeed. Kyrie.
Yeah.
Definitely poor path. All right, well... Better than at a first glance, I would say.
I would give it a creative B- potentially.
Yeah, you know, you hear it and you're like, no. But then you think about it a little more and you're like, this isn't horrible. That's what I would say.
What is our next trade?
Knicks trade. All right. Sticking with the Knicks, we got a three-way trade between the Knicks, the Pistons, and the Trailblazers. The Knicks receive Bojan Bogdanović. The Pistons receive Jeremy Grant and Quentin Grimes. Trailblazers receive Fournier, Killian Hayes, and 3 second-round picks. This is not a good U/Dapper connection 526. I'm sorry, but this makes no sense to me, Dapper.
Yeah, I don't really see why the Pistons would be trading any picks at this moment. They're not close to contention.
And the Trailblazers are giving up Jeremy Grant for a Fournier, Killian Hayes, and 3 seconds.
No, that's a little much.
That's nothing for Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, this isn't even creative. This is borderline stupid.
This is someone who wants to get the Knicks Bojan and
is really trying hard.
Yeah, sorry, Dapper. You know, yeah.
This one's just not going to cut it.
I'm going to give this a D.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you.
All right. Sticking with the Pistons, we have a Pistons 76ers trade. Bojan Bogdanović for Marcus Morris, KJ Martin, and 2 seconds. Now, I mean, I still don't like it just because both the players that the Pistons are getting are on one-year contracts. Mm-hmm. So they can't flip him for more, and I think Bojan is probably worth a first.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say as well. I think they can get higher value out of Bojan, especially in this year where the market seems a little slow in a way. Like, the Raptors unloaded a little bit, but that's – I don't know who else is going to move potentially. But, yeah.
All right. This is a big one.
It's not terrible, but yeah.
It's not.
What's this big one?
Big one. All right.
All right. I'm ready.
Three-way trade between the Hawks, Lakers, and Nets. The Hawks are getting Dinwiddie, Nick Claxton, Royce O'Neal, and a first-round pick, 2029 first-round pick from the Lakers. The Lakers get Dejounte Murray, De'Ron Sharpe, and Lonnie Walker. The Nets get Clint Capella, D'Angelo Russell, Jalen Hood-Chiffey, Jackson Hayes, and 2 seconds.
I feel like we got to repeat this one.
We got to unpack, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of moving pieces, to say the least.
Let's look at this from the Hawks' perspective. They're getting Dinwiddie, Claxton, and Royce O'Neal, and a first. Mm. And they're giving up DeJounte and Clint Capella. So do you think – you know, if I'm the Hawks, I don't love it.
Neither do I. You're giving up three players on – or you're getting three players on one-year deals.
Right.
And you're giving up DeJounte for one – and Clint Capella for one
first. One first, you know. And
even DeJounte alone, I think, is if he is on the – indeed on the market, like, he will command more than just the first-round pick.
Yeah. You know, I know it's not working with – the Hawks and Trey and DeJounte, it's not really a good fit. But, you know, he's on a 5-year deal. You know, there's no urgency to trade him right now.
Yeah.
You know, they could wait until the offseason easily.
That's a good 5-year deal, too. That's a low value.
Right, you know, around $20 million a year. Now,
for a very good player.
He's very good. He's a little, you know, he's not as great as I think as his reputation, but you know, he's still a good starting guard for a lot of teams.
Plays good defense too.
Right. So, you know, for a bunch of expiring deals, you know, I mean, if you're the Hawks, you probably re-sign Claxton because you're replacing Clint Capella with him, which is a good switch.
Which is not bad, yeah. Capella is also expensive for who he is.
Well, Claxton's going to get paid too, I think.
True.
I still, you know, if I'm the Hawks, I mean, do I hate it? No. Do I think they could do better? Yes.
Yeah, I agree. It depends if the market's slow.
Right.
Yeah.
looking at the Lakers end of this, they're getting DeJounte Murray, who's the big piece in this whole deal, De'Ron Sharp, and Lonnie Walker. And they're giving up D'Angelo Russell and then, you know, two role players who don't really play significant minutes, and then 2 seconds. In my opinion, while the Lakers are getting more value, I think D'Lo fits them better than DeJounte Murray. I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
I think it's a mixed bag for me, I think, because I feel like the Lakers are the Lakers. Like, they're going to go out and want to make a deal at the deadline.
That's
and
true.
It may not make the most sense now. Maybe it will make sense in the future. And DeJounte Murray, I think, is one of, if not the best players still remaining on the deadline, but like remaining to be traded. I mean, they could go get Brogdon too, even though he's injury prone, but maybe there's a deal for that later. But I mean, like, Lonnie Walker is solid as well.
Walker's good. Yeah.
The thing about D'Angelo Russell is, like, quietly over the last like 5 to 6 games, he's been putting up like 25 to 35 points for the Lakers and like leading the team in scoring, and the Lakers aren't winning all those games, but still, right. it feels like he's starting to find a groove, which right. that can be equally as important as, you know, trading for an upgrade, as someone just stepping up a little bit. Right. So I don't know. It's not a terrible trade.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm them, you're getting good. I think if they were told you can get DeJounte Murray for this, while also including De'Ron Sharp and Lonnie Walker, they would say yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Would I do that? Probably not. But I think based off, you know, rumors that they're actively trying to get DeJounte Murray, I think they would like.
Yeah,
that
trade. They're looking for a way. And I don't think they're against moving D'Angelo Russell. I mean, they've moved him already when he's younger.
Yeah.
So
now for the Nets, I think they kind of make out like bandits here. They get Clint Capella.
Mm-hmm.
But the big piece is they get D'Lo back.
Yeah.
Along with
– D'Lo's good.
Yeah, he's good. And they get two role players, you know, Jalen Hood-Shaffee and Jackson Hayes, who don't play much minutes, but they probably would
both
get more
on multi-year contracts, though.
Probably get more minutes with the Nets and 2 seconds, and they're giving up Dinwiddie, Royce O'Neal, De'Ron Sharp, Lonnie Walker, and the big piece here is Claxton. But I guess, you know, to them, they maybe think Claxton will get too expensive after this year.
Mm.
You know, they're giving up players and they're getting back someone who I think is better than all of them. D'Angelo Russell, while also
I agree
getting 2 seconds and, you know, having some stability at center in Clint Capella.
And even if they're to, you know, move, I have a feeling that they might not keep Capella throughout, like, over the next, like, throughout the remaining years of his contract. But, like, even with, like, I doubt the Nets are necessarily going to even look to re-sign Claxton potentially. I mean, look what they did with Jared Allen. They just moved on with him as well. Like, they, I don't know, maybe it's something in the coaching staff where they've gotten lucky with their draft picks or whatever, but they've developed some pretty good big men over the years. So, you know, a second round pick is like prime for someone with that type of upside who can fill that role. So I don't know. I think the Nets are in a good position here.
A little side note. You know what I am really craving right now?
What are you craving?
Some Cheez-Its. I was at the grocery store and I saw them, but I didn't get them. I really thought I should have. Sorry. Just a little tangent.
That would have went well with your mac and cheese, double cheese.
That's true. Yeah.
Something to think about for sure.
All right. But, you know, getting back to the topic.
right.
U/JustRedditing 1010. You know, big trade. I think he did pretty good with all these moving parts.
Yeah. I think this is a very creative B+ to A- range. Because I don't think anybody's like screwed in this trade.
Yeah.
I doubt that this would be crazy if this many players moved in one deal. Like, I don't think I've ever seen a trade involve this many pieces.
That's true.
But
I think the only team that would say no would be the Hawks, but I don't think it would take that much more. To get maybe some team adds in a first, Or a pick swap or something.
See, I don't know how many picks the Lakers
the
have
Lakers don't
aside
have
from the
another
picks that they're. Yeah,
you know,
that's what I was going to
first.
say. If the Lakers had another first, I'm sure
Neither do
they'd
the
be
Mets.
willing to add.
So, you know,
Yeah,
take
that's
another
true.
player or
A
something.
fourth team, probably.
Maybe. U/JustRedditing 101 might want to get on that.
Yeah, let's see an expanded one, and we'll get back to you.
All right. This trade's pretty crazy. So it's a four-team trade between the Nets, Mavericks, Nuggets, and Hawks. Okay, now hold on. The Nets will get Jamal Murray, Rashawn Holmes, and Josh Green. The Mavericks will get Cam Johnson, Dinwiddie, DeJounte Murray, and Nick Claxton. The Nuggets will get Luka Doncic, Bojan Bogdanovic, Sadiq Bey. And the Hawks would get Aaron Gordon, Davis Caldwell-Pope, Maxi Kleber, and Jaden Hardy. So if not for the fact that multiple teams are giving up superstar players or straight up wars
right.
players, this would be really good. U/ is not real.
I mean, immediately off the cuff.
Right.
Is Jamal Murray going to be moved? No. Is Luka going to be moved? No. Under any circumstances, neither player is being moved.
Yeah.
But I guess if we're looking at it objectively, we can break it down by team
and
again.
And it still does not hold up. Let's start with the obvious team that says no, the Mavericks.
Right.
They're giving up Luka. And they're giving up Rashawn Holmes, Josh Green, Maxi Kleber, and Jaden Hardy. They could get rid of all those players, just give up Luka, and they would be offended. They would be seriously offended if the return that some team was proposing was Cam Johnson, Dinwiddie, DeJounte Murray, and Nick Claxton.
And it's nothing even against those four players. Like, they're all solid players of upside. But
right.
And then not Luka.
Not even close.
Scored 73 last night. Like, come on now.
I think for creativity, I'll give U/ is not real an A. But realism?
I don't, like, less than an F. This
less
is,
than an F.
If this trade happens, someone can find this podcast, put me on the record, and do whatever they want with it, and that will be fine. I will do whatever. But, yeah, I don't – that's a little crazy.
Yeah. Now, we got a big one here. Let's see. This is a big five-team trade between the Bulls, the Lakers, the Warriors, the Knicks, and the Spurs.
Well, let's hear it.
Since it's a five-team trade, let's do it by team, right?
Okay.
The Bulls are getting Chris Paul, Doug McDermott, Moses Moody, and Jalen Hood-Schifino, and they're giving up Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic. I don't love it because the Bulls aren't getting any picks.
Yeah.
I think they would need some picks, at least, you know, one first.
Yeah, I'm thinking a first and a second is what they're looking for Zach LaVine.
Right.
And it's not even because LaVine's been great this year.
He's been bad, if you ask me.
I know he's been bad, but I still think, and they're looking to offload his contract,
right,
is what it sounds like. But I don't know. And I mean, Chris Paul's injured and on such an expensive contract.
He's on a 2-year deal. Yeah, he's getting around $30 million. It's not the best, but
I mean, I'd rather have Zach LaVine and Vucevic, who over the next 2 years, will be paid.
What I would say is, I mean, maybe in an aggregate, yeah. But the Bulls, I mean, their experiment with, you know, LaVine, Vucevic, and DeMar, it's been bad since they started. And
yeah, I agree that the Bulls are looking to blow it up a little bit, but you can't really blow it up without getting draft capital.
Right, which is why I think, you know, you need that kind of that kind of part of the trade. I think you're missing that. But I will say for the rest of the trade that we haven't got to, there are no picks involved. So, the Lakers could add a first or seconds, and other
That's
teams could do that. So it's not that far.
creative on this guy for figuring out all players.
Right. Moving on to the Lakers. They are only getting Zach LaVine. They are giving up Jalen Hood-Schifino, Rui Hachimura, D'Lo, Taurean Prince, and Cam Reddish. So that's, six players. They would have to find a way to fill some of those. I definitely think they could add, or sorry, that's five players. But I definitely think they could add picks instead of some of these guys just to have, people. But I
Yeah,
don't hate
but
it.
I kind of hate it.
Really?
I don't know. LaVine's an all-star player when he's playing well, but
That's true.
I don't know what's happened this year. Like, who's to say it won't happen next year? And he's on such an expensive contract for his level of play. And the players that they're giving up are all on relatively team-friendly contracts. Like Rui, especially, on a 3-year contract where he's being paid 15 a year. I mean, the thing about the Lakers that I don't understand, which is just this is a side tangent. I think Rob Pelinka did a really good job over the offseason bringing in solid veteran talent and signing youngish players like friendly deals, be it Reeves or Hachimura. And then you still have LeBron, who's an all-star for the 20th straight season, and AD. And AD's been healthy. Like, I don't know what's been going on with them because on paper, they're easily a playoff team and not in the play-in, like a top six team in the West. But I don't know.
I think their problem has been they're relying on LeBron to do so much
It's true.
when he's just not he can't he can't do it anymore. He's still a superstar, but he's not the one man show. And I think at this point, AD is probably their best player. Also, a lot of their guys, like Rui, has quietly not. He hasn't been as good as he was last year,
Yeah,
especially in his trades
it's
with the
true.
Lakers. And same with Cam Reddish. He was on a bit of a hot streak, but he's not been good recently. Reeves has not been as good as he was last year. So, do I think there's upside for a better second half after the All-Star break? Yes. I would make this trade if I were them. I'd probably see if you could sub out some players for a couple picks instead. Because I just
So
think
what would you do instead?
I would probably, if you could make the money work, I'd probably want to keep Taurean Prince, or Rui or someone like that, just so you're not picking up that many guys off the waiver wire, or on the buyout market. But I would make the trade just because I think the Lakers need a sort of
A
spark.
spark.
I think they need a sort of Hail Mary of some sorts. And I think LaVine could easily be a change of scenery guy where he's just not happy right now in Chicago. And he goes to the Lakers and he's
And
playing
becomes
next
the
to
superstar that,
LeBron, and it works.
it's true. And that'd probably allow LeBron to take a little bit more of a back seat, which, maybe that's what he
Yeah.
needs.
And I think LA is one of the only teams that really makes sense to get LaVine.
Yeah, I would agree. And you know that the Lakers are looking to do something big,
Right.
even just for their fan base.
So next up we have the Warriors who are getting Vucevic and Rui Hachimura in exchange for Moody and Chris Paul. Moody, I think a lot of fans of the Warriors think deserves more minutes, but the fact is he's not getting them. And while he's the main piece because Chris Paul is hurt. Vucevic is
I mean,
old and getting older. Sorry, continue.
no, you got it. Keep going.
Vucevic is old and getting older, and he's been dropping off year after year. And Rui's kind of having it down here, but I don't think. I think, they're another team that maybe thinks that Vucevic could play better and we could play better next to a guy like Steph, right? Where it's not sort of, you know, a bad team. They'll have more spacing.
I'd do this trade in a heartbeat if I'm the Warriors. I mean, you never know what the fit's going to be exactly, but it's really – it's a low-risk, high-upside type of deal. Because if Hachimura and if Vucevic – this is a good year and next year is a good year or a solid year, I mean, like, you're getting – two solid pieces, and you're giving up a guy who's not getting many minutes. And even like as Kuminga's inevitably going to get more minutes, like Moody, where does he fit into that equation? Like, I think he's a good player.
Yeah.
He drafted high. Where is he out of Arkansas or something? Like,
yeah, he's out of Arkansas. He was a top 10 pick.
Yeah. Like, of course, he has upside and he's on a cheap contract, but like, I don't know. Getting rid of that big Chris Paul contract.
Right.
And getting these pieces, it seems like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah. Next, we move on to the Knicks. Now, the Knicks make out like bandits in this, which makes me think that U/GoChuGang78 is a Knicks fan.
He's a Knicks fan.
Because they're getting D'Lo and Torian Prince, and they're giving up only Fournier. This is where I think some of the picks could come from in this deal that are necessary. Yeah,
true. If this is proposed to the Knicks,
they say yes.
Leon Rose will say yes without consulting anybody.
I think this is definitely where the picks come from, you know, because
yeah,
D'Lo is a scoring guard that the Knicks could use, you know, help play with, even if he technically starts or not, play a lot with the second unit. And help out. And Prince is a good shooter.
So, yeah.
You know, he'd be good on those teams.
I agree.
Pretty easy, except for the Knicks. I think they definitely have to give up more. Especially for the team. Might. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think the Lakers would have to give up a first, and the Knicks would probably have to give up a second, because I don't think the Knicks are giving up a first for these two players. But
I think they would. Mm-hmm. I think for D'Lo and Prince.
It depends.
And then this team, the Spurs, they are here to make the money work. They're getting Fournier and Cam Reddish, and they're giving up Doug McDermott. This feels kind of pointless for them. They would get Cam Reddish because maybe they think he has some upside, but he has not shown that, and I wouldn't think so. I would think that's a team, too, that would need to – you know, if you gave them a couple seconds or a protected first, then this becomes worthwhile for them because, you know, they're getting a bunch of one-year – giving up one-year deals, getting one-year deals, you know.
Yeah.
You're there to make the money, make the contracts work.
Yeah. So overall, this deal is interesting for sure. I mean, it seems a little more feasible if you think about the picks that each team would have to give up. And I'm not sure why, like, this trade, they say it's a success by whatever metrics
right.
do that. But I don't think any front office is maybe on a player-to-player level, like, in terms of cap space and all that, it makes sense. But, like, for teams that are in such different stages where – the Bulls are entering likely a rebuild of sorts. The Lakers are looking to extend LeBron's prime. The Warriors are looking to extend Steph's prime, but they might be going down the rebuild or quick rebuild path. The Knicks looking to ascend in the East. And then the Spurs, who are rebuilding, but in like a good rebuilding spot. They're moving forward. I don't know. Like, I feel like those factors weren't taken into account.
Yeah. I think for a trade this big, you know, good job.
Yeah.
But
again, lots of players.
Lots of moving parts, too.
Yeah.
But, you know,
happens if one guy fails a physical?
Right. Right. That's tough.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that's all the trades we have time for. Anything else, Daniel, that we're forgetting?
I mean, you wanted to touch on the Randall injury.
Right,
Live thoughts.
Live thoughts.
Less than an hour and a half from the end of the game.
Right. Unfortunately, King Julius, Nick's underappreciated superstar, went down with a dislocated shoulder. Timetable is unknown for how long he's going to be out. What are your immediate thoughts on what this does for the Knicks?
I mean, I don't know. I think the Knicks will just need to move towards the All-Star break and hope that the MRI comes back mostly negative and all good. But I think the Knicks are going to make a move at the deadline regardless of whether Julius got injured. But I don't know. They've been playing really well lately. I'm glad they traded for Anunoby. I mean, they're, 12-2 since the trade? So, yeah. I mean, I don't think this impacts them as much. Taj Gibson back.
He's going to be back. This year. You know it.
Yeah, I mean, he goes wherever Tibbs goes. So
they're not going to know. Average time lost in season for shoulder dislocations, getting this right now, is 31 days. So 11 to 12 games, about a month. Not horrible. No, could have been so much worse. Could have been worse.
And
you know,
that would be a gut punch.
That would have been fans. That would have been after how well the team has been playing. You know, but long term outlook for this season, if he's back by the playoffs, you know, healthy,
he will be.
I don't see that much changing.
Even if they go 6-6 in those 12 games, I don't think
they can survive.
I think they'll manage to pull through.
I think they are good enough to survive that. I mean, you know, we could take a look at their upcoming schedule. I'll pull that up right now just for what it looks like. I mean, you know, they get the Hornets, then the Jazz, Pacers, Lakers, Grizzlies, Mavericks, Pacers, Rockets, Magic, Sixers, Celtics, Pistons. It's not easy. It's not a gauntlet, I would say.
No. They got a few gimme games there, regardless of who is playing.
Few bottom feeders.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of decent teams there, too.
Yeah.
So it won't be easy. Agreed. I think they just need to, you know, survive, stay as that 4 or 5 seed that they've been. It'll all be good.
Yeah. And then you get the All-Star break in there.
Right. So extra time, too.
Yeah.
Helps out.
Yeah. So, I mean, if we're talking about an injury, it couldn't have come at a better time, I guess. If this is the time to have this type of injury, this is the time to have it. But
right.
Yeah.
Fortunately, looks like he will be missing the All-Star game. Hopefully, he still gets a nomination anyway. But
I think he will. He should. He's earned it this year.
Brunson definitely should from the Knicks, just while we're on that subject. I think Randall is sort of a borderline case this year. When you look at
it. Do you think Brunson was snubbed from the starters?
I think he's better than – he's had a better season at the start. He's had a better season so thus far than Dame. But, you know, I don't think it's – they're close. Yeah. I think it's close.
I think it should have come down to Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson. I think if you're looking at the stats, Dame is shooting 34.7% from three. I think that was it, which is unusual for him. And his field goal efficiency is way down. And, I mean, maybe they'll figure out with Doc Rivers coming in, maybe something will change. But even so, I mean, the Bucks are – 31-13 when they fired their coach. So
right. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. We had a great time making it.
And we'll be back next week with our Super Bowl episode, which will be super exciting. You get a taste of football from us, which is something
big game.
I don't think we've done yet.
Quick pick, Daniel. NFC Championship game: Lions or Niners?
All right, so here I got to lay it out. I'll do it.
You got to lay it out. All right.
So what I want to see, and what I think most people want to see, is Ravens Lions in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
However, do I think the Niners are better than the Lions? Yes. And do I think that you can't doubt Mahomes in the playoffs? Yes. So all things considered, what I want to see and what may actually happen.
What do you think will actually happen?
I think the Niners are beating the Lions for sure.
Okay.
And I think it's a toss-up, like truly a toss-up
between pick one.
The Ravens and the that's tough.
You got to make your pick. I'm going to disagree with for starters. I'm going to go with the Lions. I think they'll win.
I'm going Ravens in the AFC Championship. And then
I guess we're kind of opposite.
I think whoever comes out of the AFC is winning the Super Bowl. But
I don't know about that. But I'm going the Chiefs. And yeah, that's the matchup I want. I want Lions Chiefs, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm very happy though with the conference championships. I think we'll have two good games and then a good Super Bowl.
Hope so.
Yeah, can't go wrong. But
all right,
catch us next week.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye bye.
All right, listening. Yeah.